We are currently in a series called Everyday Missionaries, and Pastor Joe introduced this series to us 2 weeks ago, urging us to see that we do not need to be, we do not need to be uprooted to be a missionary, but that God wants to use us where he has planted us to be a missionary in our context. He outlined our three strategic priorities, and these are things that we as a church are going to be focusing on over this next year, which are family ministry. Hi, it's me. I'm the main point person on that one. The second one is recovery church, and the third being community engagement. We want to encourage you to be everyday missionaries with us by signing up to be a part of one or more of those. And I believe you can sign up with the Connect Desk. If not, send Pastor Joe or I an email, or the Raquel, I think it's at info@BethelChurchOnline or something like that. I'm still new here. I wasn't going to say that. I'm no longer new here. Yes, God is working and he is moving, and we want you to be a part of it. And last week we had our missionaries from Spain, Mark and Kim Steinfeld, join us along with their three children. And downstairs at Bethel Kids, Kim and her children came down and got to lead them in a Spanish song. I was fumbling with the words. Spanish is not my forte. It's complicated. But it was fun. We got to do some actions. And then Bethel Kids actually came up with some amazing questions for the Steinfelds down there that they got to answer right away, and that was awesome. And Mark spoke, and in summary, the main point was that everyone has a call on their life from God to be an everyday missionary. And today we are continuing in that series. But before we kind of get going, I want to ask you guys a question. Just think about this. In your family, do you have certain agreed-upon responsibilities? So in my family, Jared, my husband, does the dishes. He does the garbages. He does the bathrooms. I do the laundry. I cook, and I do the grocery shopping. Now, this is flexible, obviously, in our household, but this is generally what happens. And so a few weeks ago, I ran to the store to grab a few things. And no, I do not remember what I was going to grab. As you can see, it wasn't that important. But it took me a little bit to find exactly what I was looking for. And then I went to go check out. So I got my items that I was looking for, and then I went to go check out, as we all should be doing. If you are not, then we need to have a little chat. But I was waiting in line here, and I noticed that the line next to me had quite a few less people in it. I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay, well, I'll move on over. I'll get the shorter line. That'll be great. And there was a young lady ahead of me, and then one more person ahead of me. And the person at the front of the line had finished checking out, and this young lady was putting her groceries through. And I noticed that near the end of getting her items scanned through, she was actually taking some items and putting them back. And as I assumed that that was probably because her grocery bill had just come up higher than she intended to spend that week. And there were some essential items that she put back, like milk and pasta. And then I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and I knew that I needed to pay for those extra groceries. It was around $45 extra. For me, it really wasn't that big of a deal. This young lady starts paying for the things she had kept, and her first card was actually declined. And you could tell that she was just so embarrassed. And she started crying, and she pulled out a different card, and she paid for what she did. And I just felt awful, just knowing the circumstances, or being like, kind of figuring out what the circumstances was. And I turned to the young lady, and I said, can I please pay for those extra groceries? And I told the cashier, put those groceries on my bill. And it took some convincing, actually, from this young lady, like, please, let me do this for you. Like, I'm going to do this for you. You have no choice. and so I did it. And she walked away with everything that she was hoping to buy. And I walked with her to the front of the store, and we talked for a little bit, and she wanted to give me a hug, and she just couldn't believe what had just happened. And I said, my husband and I, we try to live generously. And I was having this internal battle in my mind of, how in the world do I tell her, a stranger, that it was the Holy Spirit nudging me to buy these groceries. Do I tell her? Do I not tell her? I mean, I just bought her groceries, so I mean, how would she not like me? But that's my anxiety talking. And I just kind of blurted and fumbled out, oh, I'm a Christian. And she looks at me and through her tears said, I am too. Big relief. We talked a little bit more and we found out we had a few connections through a friend, and later after I had given out my number, she thanked me again for what I had done and told her that God had been teaching her and showing her about generosity and how to incorporate it into her life more, and that she and areas that she needed to improve in. Now, I know this isn't a story about introducing someone new to Jesus randomly in a grocery store, but it was during an everyday moment. Something that was routine and regular for me. And when I listened to the Holy Spirit, he was able to use me to continue what he was already teaching this young lady. And I don't know how my actions may have impacted those who were in line behind me that I could tell were getting impatient and irritated, or the cashier who was scanning the groceries and witnessed what had happened. And I hope and pray that my action of love towards this young lady impacted not only her, but those in direct earshot of what had happened. An everyday moment. All of us have everyday moments, like grocery shopping, walking our dog, disciplining our kids, that happens a lot, having coffee with a friend, having people over for a meal. Being an everyday missionary means loving God and loving others in the everyday moments. Being an everyday missionary means loving God and loving others in the everyday moments. We're going to be diving into Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7 today as our main passage. But before we get into reading that, I want to give you some context of this scripture. Because context is so important to understanding what is happening. Context is so important to understanding scripture properly. There we go. Deuteronomy happens at the end of the nation of Israel's exile in the desert for 40 years, but before they enter the promised land. And the generation that came out of Egypt has actually all died. They no longer are alive. It's the next generation that is hearing Moses speak. And so Deuteronomy is Moses' almost last will and testament to this new nation of Israel. And he desires them to love God with all of themselves and to continue to pass that on to the following generations, so Israel can be a testament to the surrounding nations of who their God is. Moses did not want this new generation to make the same mistakes that their forefathers had made. I mean, look where that ended up. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7. I'm going to read from the NLT version here. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I've given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. I have a question for you before I continue here. Are you a part of God's people? Because here's the thing, you can't share about something you are not a part of. Now, I live in North Nanaimo currently, and it's really great. I'm 2 minutes from Superstore, 2 minutes from Costco, 4 minutes from HomeSense. It's pretty fantastic. But I'm not yet part of the Ladysmith community. Yes, I work here, but I do not live here yet. And I can't tell you from my experience about the community where the best coffee shop is, for like who has the best coffee, or kind of the everyday workings of the community or the regular events that happen here, because I'm not a part of the community. We hope to be soon, but I'm not yet. You can't share about something you are not a part of. And we're talking about being everyday missionaries. So if you are a missionary, that means you are on mission for someone. So who are you on mission for? If you want to be on a mission for God, you need to be a part of his people. Going back to the first verse of our scripture this morning, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." Are you a part of God's people? Is the Lord your God? Are you serving him alone? This whole verse, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone," is known as the Great Shema. Tim Mackey, in his article, "What's the Meaning of the Jewish Shema Prayer in the Bible?" wrote this. It, the Shema, was a daily prayer for ancient Israelites, and it is still recited by Jewish people today. Shema is the Hebrew word for listen. Tim Mackey continues on in this article with, "The opening line, 'Hear, O Israel,' does not simply mean to let sound waves enter your ears. Here, the word Shema means to allow the words to sink in, provide understanding, and generate a response." It's about action. In Hebrew, hearing and doing are the same thing. So back to my question, are you a part of God's people? If your answer is no, Shema, listen, take action. If your answer is no, do you want your answer to be yes? Do you want to actively listen and take a step of faith and become a part of God's people? This step of faith is really simple. You first need to recognize that you are in need of a Savior because you have fallen short of God's standard. All of us have fallen short of God's standard, so you're not alone. Paul writes in Romans 10:9 that if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To be part of God's people is simple. Recognize that you need God. Recognize that your sin has separated you from him. And believe and declare that Jesus died and rose again for you so you could be forgiven. Openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you will then start a personal relationship with God and become a part of God's people. Now, being a part of God's people, you are now on mission for God. You now have a calling to be an everyday missionary, and Mark Steinfeld talked about that last week. So listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Continuing on in our scripture, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Moses wanted the nation of Israel to love God with every part of themselves, every aspect of their lives. Loving God with everything meant that they would obey God's law. Tim Mackey also wrote in this article, "What we translate into English as love here is the Hebrew word ahava. Ahava is not about the warm, fuzzy emotional energy we feel when we like someone. Much like listening, biblical love is about action. You ahava someone when you act in loyalty and faithfulness. For Israel, loving means faithful obedience in the terms of their covenant relationship with Yahweh. To love God with your whole being means to actively obey God. Jesus says in John 14:15, "If you love me, obey my commandments." 1 John 5:3, John writes, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Now, I want to clarify something here. Obeying God is not a way to earn God's love. God loves you because he created you, not because you obey him. You cannot earn God's love. Salvation is a gift, not a reward. Obeying God comes out of our love for him. Because of my love for God, I want to honor God with and his heart through my actions and how I interact with God and how I interact with others. Out of our love for God, we obey his commandments. Now, when you read the Bible, there are many, many commandments in there. It can be a little overwhelming. But I'm going to make these commandments really, really simple for you. Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus says this: "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God and love others." And you know what is great about God? He doesn't leave us on our own to love him and love others. He gives us his Holy Spirit. We get to use God's own power to love God and love others. Because in reality, we can't do it on our own strength. It's just way too hard. And God knows that. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. So love God and love others. Continuing on, Deuteronomy 6, repeat them, the commandments, again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Repeat them again and again to your children. Parents, your number one mission field are your kids. God has called you to be an everyday missionary to your kids. Pastor Joe said this the first week: you are called to thrive as an everyday missionary where God has planted you. I'm going to add something for this point. You are called to thrive as an everyday missionary where God has planted you, which is in your family. And God wants to use your everyday moments to disciple your kids. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Discipling your kids is not about adding additional things. It's about using the everyday moments and allowing the Holy Spirit to show you how to actively love God and love your kids. When my family and I were hiking once, we like to hike a lot, and I'm so glad my daughter Millie has finally started to enjoy it. But we were walking in the woods once, and there were some really large trees. Really large trees on the island, which I absolutely love. And I used this as an opportunity to ask her a question. I'm like, Millie, she's 3 and a half, by the way. Who made the trees? And so she wasn't 100% sure this first time that we had this conversation, but it created an opportunity to say, you know, God made the trees. Isn't he awesome? Look how big they are. God must be pretty big too. And you know what, Millie? God also made you, and he loves you. This was just a simple moment that we were able to talk about who God is and how creative he is and how big he is and how he loves her. Or there have been other times when my husband and I have needed to discipline Millie, as all parents have to do at some point with their children. And Millie was not listening to us this one time. And so when the moment had kind of passed and we were able to talk through with her what had happened, I asked the question to her, is it hard to listen to mommy and daddy sometimes? She's like, yeah. And we continued to have this short conversation of how she can actually ask Jesus for help so she can listen to mommy and daddy. She can ask for help. We walk through what that asking would look like. I can't and I don't expect there to be an immediate response here. But as Jared and I continue to engage Millie in repeated conversations, we know that there will be fruit. Deuteronomy 6:7, repeat them again and again. Being intentional with discipling your kids is important. But being intentional requires some planning. If you're going on a walk with your kids, think about a question you can ask them, like I did with Millie on our walk. Have a conversation with your spouse on how you incorporate talking about God's love and forgiveness in moments of discipline. Make a plan. If your children do not have a relationship with Jesus, Moments of discipline are incredible opportunities to talk about Jesus and the gospel. This may be daunting to you, and it has been and still is for me. But it can be simple. And there are many, many easy tools out there to help you. Parent Q, I have talked about this a few times, but Parent Q is an amazing, amazing tool for you parents to help disciple your kids in those everyday moments. It gives you prompts on engaging in conversations at normal times throughout the day, like at bedtime, when you're driving with them somewhere, at mealtime. I know with my daughter it says, during in the morning when I go into her room, this is what you can say. It's seriously an incredible tool that makes it really, really simple. Now, I know everyone here is not a parent, but the principle here of using the everyday moments can be applied to you. Your mission field is in your everyday moments. What are your everyday moments? Do you go grocery shopping? Do you walk the dog? If you have a dog, I don't. Do you have friends over for dinner? Do you have coffee with friends? Do you connect with your neighbors? What are your everyday moments now? And how can you be more intentional with your everyday moments? Hospitality is a major missionary tool. Are you inviting people into your life? There's this book, I haven't read it yet, but it's been recommended to me before, and it's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Again, I haven't read it, but the concept of inviting people into your life, into your home, is an incredible opportunity that God can use to show others his love. If you live in a house, I'm assuming, unless you live on an acreage or a farm, there's houses right next to you. I just wanted to let you know that the people living in those houses next to you are called your neighbors. When was the last time you talked to your neighbors? Have you ever talked to your neighbors? Have you ever had them over for a meal? This is a simple way to start being an everyday missionary in your context. God wants to use you where he has planted you. God wants to use us where he has planted us, here in Ladysmith. This whole concept of being an everyday missionary may be really scary. It is sometimes for me. And it's a battle that it's something I really have to battle against. I'm an introvert, so it's like talking to people, connecting to people, sometimes can be scary. And I don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism. Remember how I had that internal battle in the grocery store, like, do I tell her, do I not tell her, what do I do? Like, oh. It does not come easy. But it does not have to be complicated. Again, you're not coming up with additional massive life changes in order to be an everyday missionary. It's using your everyday moments as a tool for God. So simply surrendering those everyday moments to God in prayer and ask him to help you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Something that gives me so much comfort is knowing that the Holy Spirit is already working. He's working behind the scenes. He does so much work that we don't even know about. The Holy Spirit is preparing hearts in our community, even today, to receive God's love. The Holy Spirit does all the heavy lifting. We just have to partner in him with what he is already doing. So ask God to help you see what he is already doing and how he wants you to partner with him specifically. The young lady that I bought groceries for that I told you about at the beginning, the Holy Spirit was already teaching her about generosity. In my everyday moment of going to the grocery store, I was sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, and I obeyed. And I was able to partner with him in the work he was already doing. Being an everyday missionary means loving God and loving others in our everyday moments. It does not have to be complicated. Because the Holy Spirit is already working, and the Holy Spirit wants you to partner with him in that work. What is great is he also gives you his power to do it. He doesn't leave us on our own. So how do we do this? How do we be an everyday missionary? The first and foremost thing that I can give you is prayer. Prayer is vital. Prayer is vital in this. And prayer is simply just talking with God. Surrender in prayer, surrender your everyday moments to God. Like, God, I want to give you my everyday moments to be tools for you to use. Pray for a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. God, show me where your Holy Spirit is working. Allow me to be sensitive to what you're doing and what you want me to do. Pray for opportunities. God, you know, I haven't seen my neighbor in a little while. I give them to you, and God, can you create an opportunity for me to connect with them? Pray for soft hearts around you. God, I don't know where this person's at with a relationship with you, but God, I pray that you would soften their heart so that they would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, sensitive to your God's love, to your love, God. And then pray for boldness to obey when the Holy Spirit directs you. God, when you direct me to connect with this person, please give me that boldness. Please give me that boldness to go and do it. And the second thing is, so first thing is prayer. The second thing is being intentional. So planning ahead. Our church is being intentional with having our three strategic priorities. God highlighted these areas to our leadership, and so we want to partner with what God is doing. Being a part of one of these strategic priorities is an easy and simple way to begin your everyday missionary journey. Parents, plan to disciple your kids. Use different tools to help you teach your kids about knowing and following Jesus. Use me as a resource. Use the church ministries as a resource. Bethel Kids, our soon-to-be preteen program, Parallel Youth. ParentQ, go download it from the App Store. Create space for there to be conversations with your kids in the everyday moments about Jesus. And I'm just going to invite the worship team to come back as we wrap up. But everyone else, including parents, remember the houses, the people living in the houses surrounding yours. Plan to connect with your neighbors. Build relationships with them. Invite them over for a meal. Pray for God to create natural opportunities for you to share God's love with them. As you meet with friends in a coffee shop, as you do your weekly grocery shop, as you walk your dog, pray that God would show you opportunities to be an everyday missionary. Be intentional. Plan ahead and build relationships with those around you. So what are your everyday moments? How can you love God and love others in those everyday moments with the power and direction of the Holy Spirit? How can God use you where he has planted you? What are your everyday moments? I'm just going to pray to close, and you're welcome to stand during this moment. Jesus, thank you for all that you came, for all that you came. Thank you that you came and that you died for us that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you that you have a heart for our community. And thank you that you have called us to make disciples of all nations. Thank you that you want to use us where you have planted us. Here in Ladysmith. Holy Spirit, I ask that you show us our everyday moments that you want to use to reach our community. Holy Spirit, convict us, direct us, give us boldness to obey you. Help us be everyday missionaries. Thank you that you do not leave us on our own to love God and love others. Thank you that you give us the power to actively love God and actively love others. And I pray, God, that as we go out into our everyday moments this week, we would have the boldness to partner with you, Holy Spirit, in what you are already doing. Amen.